thanks for joining me on the Nui Tech People Engineering Podcast. My name's Mel Sietsma, and I'm the Senior Engineering Consultant within the team here. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by Sonia James, who is a Process Engineer at InfraBuild.
Thank you, Mel.
Awesome. So today, I guess I'd like to kick off by just learning a little bit more about your background and your career to date.
So I am born and brought up in India, and I always tell this to everyone that I had no idea what to do in my life. So going forward, I figured out what I don't like, and then I figured out what I'm going to ultimately do in my life. So when I graduated, when I did my 12th grade, belonging from a upper middle class family back from India, your preference is to get a job. So that's the most important aspect to make a decision as to what you're going to choose as a career. So that's when I decided probably engineering is the best field because, and I think a lot of contribution over there is from my parents as well, guiding me through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because as I said, I didn't know, you know, where I want to head towards. I was more inclined back then, I still remember, towards mechanical or chemical engineering.
Yeah.
This is around 2012 back in India. A lot of women, probably you'll have one woman in the entire class, and the class would be 60 people in a class. That's how it goes in India. So very less ratio of women in there. And by the end of graduation, they would end up working in IT or computer sciences kind of job. They won't even end up in heavy industry. So that's the reason I decided, I think I was not brave enough to make a decision for myself back then confidently.
Yeah.
Saying that this is what I want to do in my life. So I went ahead and chose electronics engineering. I did my electronics and then I thought I want to do a master's degree. Mm. So I decided I'm going to come to Australia to do my master's. So I did my master's in engineering science management in University of Queensland, Brisbane.
Yeah.
And then I did my thesis in steels. So that was the first time I would sit for probably an hour or two. And I'm just a restless person. I always say this.
Yeah.
That was the first thing in my life which made me study and, you know, let me read for a long time. So that's when I made a decision that I want to be in steel industry.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not sure doing what. What I'm going to do, I was not sure. I started applying, looking up. So I had a list of companies I want to be a part in.
Yeah.
So I knew major manufacturers of steel in Australia. I started shortlisting people off from like just looking up different companies and then, you know, filtering people out. Emailing them. I know no one is going to hire a graduate with no experience. Mm-hmm. So I just did a template up and just started sending people a message. Yeah. And I ended up finding a job in Newcastle. And then I moved up at Ahia in Hunter region. And I was employed in a galvanizing plant.
Okay. So you were living up in Queensland to complete your studies and then relocated down?
And then I moved in here. That was COVID time. So that was a terrible...
big move.
I know. So it was a big change because you have set up, you have changed whole of your life. You moved from India. You don't have family. You don't have friends. You have made a base up there in Brisbane. Then you're moving again. So that's starting from the scratch. There was no one, you know, probably to support up here.
Yeah.
So had to start all over again. And yeah, then I worked at Molycop in steel making.
Mm-hmm.
Then now I am with InfraBuild and in the rod mill.
Okay.
Working as a process engineer.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Long story.
No, I think it's really good because I think there's influx of engineers moving to Australia. So it's nice to hear that success story, you know, someone who's gone through all those steps to get here. Do you have advice, maybe other people that are looking to relocate from overseas?
Probably first figure out what you love doing. That's the most important thing. It's not about, from my personal experience, I would say we talk about, you know, scope of getting a job. I understand that. But if you're good or if you love what you do, you'll figure out, you'll find a job at the end of the day. And I think that you spend 8 hours of a, you know, a day at work. So you you want something that you look up to, go to, like you want to go in there. So figure out what you love, and then eventually everything will literally fall in place.
And you mentioned earlier that your parents had quite an influence on you, I guess, going to uni. Do they have an engineering background or?
Oh, guess what? I'm the first female engineer from my whole family.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's a bit different. My mom is a nurse. So my mom didn't want me to get into medical field. That was for sure.
Okay.
She's like, probably, maybe, I don't know, whatever you want to do. She was, but my father back in India is a used to be a professor.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in commerce.
Okay.
So he wanted me to probably shift towards technical line. Yeah. And I think for reaching this far, I think they have played a crucial role in my life, probably supporting me and being a big part of my growth.
Having both parents gone to unis, I'm assuming your mum went to uni to study nursing?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Both of them did. Yeah. And they both loved their job too. Yeah. So they had all their recommendations, and then, families, you have a big, family back in India,
yeah,
uncles of uncles, and, so everyone had their own opinion. But I think it's all about, as I said, figuring out what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
It took me a while, probably a little bit. It took me some more time than normal people to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately I love what I do, because I still remember when I was a kid, I would look outside and from, the trains, and I would look at peak factories and go like, wow, it's so good. And I now realize, I love being in a plant. Now, 2-3 years ago, I used to think, why my dad suggested that it's not safe to work in a plant. Yeah. That was one of his suggestions.
Yeah.
I belong from a small city. So that's Bhopal. There was a Bhopal gas tragedy back in my city. So this was 1984. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people actually died because of a methyl isocyanide was out in the air. There was a safety incident.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big incident that actually hit the city I lived in.
Yeah, wow.
So probably they inferred that was their trauma.
Mm.
That plant is not a safe place to probably work in. And they were thinking of my safety
as you do as a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that was one of the factors that made him, tell me probably, it's not safe. And
then you followed your heart anyway.
Eventually I did. Yeah. So they visited me after, I think, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they did in December. And I showed them the plant, and they were really proud at looking, how everything works, and it's so cool, and it is so cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so they were really proud of, where I work and looking at all the processes and fascinated.
I'm probably saying that it's perhaps reasonably safe after all.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And have you had any other key mentors in your life outside of your parents?
I feel that for me, in different life phases, different people have played a crucial role, and it has changed. And I think whoever I am around are my mentor at that point of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important. Even it doesn't matter if it's an operator or manager or anyone, everyone has something to offer.
Yeah.
So I am probably absorbing, positive aspects from people, learning, understanding. I'm a dancer too, so I think my dance teacher played quite a bit of a role in me being, resilient.
What style dancing do you do?
Indian classical.
Love that.
I'm trained Indian classical dancer. And I think during those practice sessions, I think the way we have been molded is, it doesn't matter what goes on, you need to still show up. And, if you work harder, you're going to reach somewhere. It doesn't matter how much ever barriers you have, you'll cross through and you'll reach wherever you're supposed to. So my dance teacher, my managers, anyone who is around me, I think has molded me into something I am in today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate everyone for that.
And do you think as a female engineer, you need female mentors, or is it just a mix of backgrounds as you just touched on?
I think I've never had as a manager.
Yeah. Or just even someone, I guess, in the greater network of people that you work with.
It's good to look up to, you know, someone who is a female, who is a leader.
Yeah.
You know, you can, I think it just drives a bit more of a motivation to look up to someone and go, yes, I can be, you know, that. But I think even if you don't have someone as female, I think it's all about what's going on in your head, right? How you mold yourself. I think it's all about looking up from where you are right now and thinking that, you know, I want to go here. I want to reach there.
Yeah.
And that's all, you know, that matters, I think so.
So we're a sponsor of the Hunter Manufacturing Awards this year, and I was recently chatting with Jackie, and she mentioned that, was it in 2021, I think you won the Rising Star Award?
I always get a bit, I think, shy on this topic. yes, in 2021, I did won the award, and I was back then working at Armagal. My manager back then, Clive, he nominated me. I think I was young little engineer, used to be a bit more bossy person. I think with time, my personality has changed a little bit more.
I think we all do that as we grow.
And it was a good experience back then to go through the process. I was pretty much confident that I am not going to win anything.
Yeah.
I was happy being nominated because I was thinking that, who, you know, how a immigrant is gonna win this kind of award. And plus, I think I always downplay myself. I think it's better to maybe downplay, because it's a good way to, you know, keep learning and thinking that I need more to do for myself. But when I won the award, I was myself shocked. Like, how did I get through it? So I still remember that moment. It was great.
And has that helped kind of some of the next path of your career journey and having that recognition?
Yes, it did. Back then, Armagal made me redundant. Mm-hmm. I still remember. And that networking part through HMA helped me a lot to get my next job into the steel plant. And I've met so many incredible people through HMA. I think I've been influenced by their experience and, you know, the way they share their thought process. And I think HMA really helped a lot.
So I guess as far as your current employer, working for InfraBuild, what's a massive organization with a big history in Newcastle, did you want to share with us any of that history about the site that you're working on?
So I work with Newcastle Rod Mill. We make steel long products, and we supply steel for wire manufacturing. We make reinforcement bars of different sections, and with us is Conti Stretch as well, so that's like a further processing mill for the product that we make. And it's quite, they say that InfraBuild's history is like 100 years old. It has been here for a while. Used to be BHP previously, and here we are. It's under InfraBuild umbrella. There is steel manufacturing, steel recycling, wire, Newcastle Distribution Center, where we store steel products and send it across to Australia too, in different areas. So it's here in Newcastle. If you talk just about Newcastle, we have Newcastle Rod Mill, we have Conti Stretch under our umbrella. As I said, Newcastle Distribution Center is here too.
Yeah. But I guess, knowing, you know, that history from moving from BHP to, was it One Steel and then InfraBuild? Like, it's, I think there's kind of been generations of people work on the site over the year.
Yes, yes, we have. Like, we have people who have been working on that site for 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
And now a lot of people from the batch back then are retiring.
Yeah.
Okay. So heaps, like years of experience we have on our side. And I think times have changed. I think now generation don't stick on for, you know, longer time. So we have a big chunk of operators, process engineers who have been working, you know, on the site and have so much knowledge around the whole plant.
Yeah.
And it's great to work with them, learn from them, because they have so much of precision and, you know, that I think that sense of understanding the mill.
Yeah.
As to by looking at it, by hearing it, that's a different kind of, you know, exposure you get through while working with these people.
Yeah.
And all these, you know, skill sets take time to develop.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, 1 year thing or 2 year thing that you develop instantly. It just takes time. So I'm grateful, you know, I'm able to see all these people and work with all of them on my side.
So is it like a process knowing that those people are probably coming up to retirement that you're kind of working through, I guess, a bit of like a skills pipeline for the next up and comers? Or
probably the best thing is to work with them. We have a lot of procedures in place.
Yeah.
But one of the key aspects is to figure out those loopholes where, you know, we have left off information. Like there might be like five processes and then we might have left a dark spot somewhere where we couldn't take it off from experience, and it's we couldn't document it or something like that. We're still you know, every day is a new day. We work on something new and we, you know, talk to them and try to take information off them on everything, take their opinion when we build something or, you know, we are trying to improve a process. It depends, really.
Are there any kind of key projects or changes that you're seeing on site at the moment?
The key project that we recently worked on was Sense 600. We have worked on that product. So it's a new project by Infrabuild. This reduces the weight of the steel by 16%.
Okay.
So the main intention is if you have, you know, this much of a diameter of reinforcement bar, we have brought down the diameter of the reinforcement bar without impacting the strength of the steel itself. So that's a new project that we have worked on, and the product is out in the market.
Okay. Is that around environmental impact, or what's kind of driven that?
So probably sustainable steel and more towards environment side.
Yeah.
Because you're reducing your footprint by, you know, obviously using less steel as compared to what you were supposed to.
That's good. I think a lot of people forget to acknowledge the green steel kind of side of the heavy manufacturing businesses and all those initiatives that are taking place.
So anything that goes out in the market requires a lot of work. So I've been a part of the project a bit later because it has been just 1.5 years now in Infrabuild.
Yeah.
And when I see all the trials and when we do the product trials, just we go through so many different cycles of, you know, trying to figure out how we can achieve our goals.
Yeah.
And it's a big contribution from, you know, different teams across Infrabuild when they come together to do a product.
Yeah.
Starting off by like technical, you know, metallurgical aspect and production. Everyone plays a big role in, you know, working through the whole process and getting a new product done.
So I guess thinking around a tradesperson or an engineer that's looking for a new career path, why might they choose to work at Infrabuild?
I would talk first from an engineering perspective. We have a lot of graduate roles that come up, and it's in different, you know, areas of specialization. You could be in electrical team, mechanical or production. You could be anywhere you want to. So if it's a new engineer who's coming over to working with Infrabuild, you'll be having, I think it's a 2-year graduate program that we usually have. And you'll be put around different areas to learn different aspects of the mill. So that's a good exposure for engineer to, you know, apply their knowledge or learn in different areas across the whole mill.
Yeah. So they're part of like a multidisciplined engineering team?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's how it usually works as. Even if you go, and then you can choose where, you know, what you like to do, which team you want to work as, into, or how you want to do things. Yeah. That depends on you. So
okay.
It gives you an opportunity to figure out what you would like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So that's good. For trade person, probably it's a good workplace to work with. You get good training, and I think one of the aspects I really like about Intravil is the focus on mental health.
Okay.
So we do have trainings on mental health. I think in 2 weeks I have another training.
Okay.
So that's the first time I'm going to go into a mental health training. Yeah. So you can put up your name and go in.
Okay. Is there a particular course that they run?
It's a 2 or 3 day course. So okay. You can be someone, they want someone to be aware of if there is a problem, you know, to look out for people.
Yeah.
There are different ways to approach them, or so you can get that training done and you can be a representative to be on site. Mm-hmm. So it could be anyone. It could be an operator. It could be an engineer. You know, team leader,
such an important step on sites, and especially I think dealing with, you know, these predominantly male dominated workforces who aren't always as good as expressing how they're feeling. Obviously mental health can affect anyone, but yeah, it's such a good initiative.
Yes, I agree to that. I think it's hard for them to talk out how they feel, and I think it's just rooted from society, isn't it? Yeah. That, you know, men should keep the pain to themselves, and it's, you know, be strong, be bold.
Yeah,
I think it has to change with time. I think it's slowly changing, but yeah, it's going to take a while, I guess.
And I guess quite important in an environment there too, where this like older generation that probably struggle with that conversation even more.
They do, they do.
Other people, so yeah.
I agree.
So earlier you spoke, I guess, some new projects that you're working on. I guess if we think of, you know, today's environment as far as manufacturing, innovations are really critical part of that as far as staying ahead. Can you share any other initiatives that's happening at InfraBuild at the moment?
So I think the most important thing whenever we are running a project is let people talk and reading the energy of the room.
Because
mm-hmm. sometimes a quieter person could have a good idea in their head and they might not be, you know, able to talk it out or
yeah.
speak about it. So sometimes it's about, I know everyone knows better, keeping that mentality aside as to I know better than anyone else. It's about, it's okay, you know, let the other person speak up what they are thinking in their head.
Yeah.
And giving a chance to them to speak up and probably motivate them, or, you know, just give them a feedback. You know, I love your idea, or I didn't like yeah. your idea. So I think it depends from manager to manager as well, how they deal with their team themselves.
Yeah.
So our manager is pretty good with that aspect if yeah. I'm working with him. So he loves to take feedback, or he's open always to listen to, you know, what we want to tell him, or
mm-hmm.
yeah, if you have an idea, if he can make it work, or
yeah,
he'll be up for it
okay.
and contribute towards it. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, as you said, I think it definitely helps with the motivation piece.
Yeah, and then everyone tells each other, no question is a stupid question. I think yeah. that helps me a lot, and I tell this to everyone else too. So ask whatever you want to, discuss whatever you want to, and I think conversations can lead to innovations. Just yeah. normal conversation, building up, you know, just one after the other ideas together, stacking up together
yeah.
could lead to a big, you know, innovation.
Yeah, it's a good idea, like a good concept, like, yeah, fresh ideas
yeah.
instead of just doing it the same old.
Motivation is important.
Yeah, absolutely. That whole kind of, I think, empowering your team to be heard, yeah. And what about manufacturing in general? Where do you think the industry might be in, say, I don't know, 5-10 years' time?
For us, it's very good. I think we are growing and everything is good. But one of the things that I think bothers me a little bit is the power prices. That's
yeah.
one of the things that I feel could impact our industry
yeah.
on long-term basis. So probably something needs to be done about it, and more support needs to be given to the manufacturing industry going forward. But for sure, there's a bright future.
Yeah, so looking at alternative.
Yeah, hydrogen, or, you know, everyone is having a thought about it, but probably going forward. It's, yeah, environmental engineers, they work in this particular area as to trying to figure out,
yeah.
You know, alternative ways.
And obviously you shared your own story earlier about, you know, relocating to the Hunter for your first role in Australia. What do you think is the main benefits of working in the manufacturing industry in the Hunter?
I think there's so much of different options up at Hunter. Like, there's no, you know, lack of opportunity up here, specifically in manufacturing space, steel, mining. Like, you ask for, you have everything up here. Like, so many options, and I think it's booming. Specifically, Hunter region is doing very well, and it's going to grow more.
Yeah, lots of talent in the region.
Yes, it is. A lot of people are coming over for jobs in this area too. So
yeah,
a lot of opportunities for people who are going to come up here in this region.
And as far as, I guess, you know, other females in the industry, obviously it can be, you know, tough being a female engineer. Could you share with us maybe some advice that you provide to other female engineers?
Advice, when I talk about advice, probably I always thought it's not the workplace. I think it's the home. Home is where, you know, our confidence is built up from. I was reading this article somewhere that said that women only apply for a job if, you know, all the skills match 100%.
Yeah.
While men apply, if they, even if they are, you know, at 60% mark, that's the risk-taking factor that comes into the picture. So I think we downplay a lot of times, you know. So if you are up for something, just go ahead and be confident and do it. And there are good people who would even support you when, you know, they know you have this potential to support you through the whole process. But I think it just comes from inside. And I myself, a lot of times I panic because I have figured out this quality. I don't know, is it quality or a bad quality? I keep on, you know, pulling myself down.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell myself, Sonia, be confident. I talk to myself inside and I'm like, be confident. You're better than this.
Yeah.
I try to push myself. But the most important thing is, if you love it, just be confident and go ahead. And working with men is really cool. I enjoy. They take care of you, and it's good to work with them. They're not going to, you know, I've never figured out a situation or felt a situation where, you know, they are talking to me or in a bad, disrespectful way or anything of that sort.
That's really good.
So I enjoyed working with all of them. But I think some way or the other, you just need to be confident.
Positive inner voice.
Yes, that's all we need.
Very good. I guess getting to know you a little bit better, and you've already shared one of your interests outside of work. What else do you do to kind of balance that mental health in the workplace?
So once work is done, I go and play badminton.
Okay.
So I love playing badminton. So I go to Wickham to play badminton.
Yeah.
And I'm a dancer too. So I love dancing. I'm not that much active now in dancing space, but back in Brisbane, I used to do a lot of dancing.
Okay.
I think I need to go back in to dancing again.
Sounds like you really enjoyed it last time.
Yeah, I do. I do love dancing. I am a happy person while dancing.
Yeah.
And Pilates as well, just, you know, to keep going. Yeah. I think that's good to go through life. And yeah, that's all I do.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been great chatting with you and your journey. And yeah, I guess if anyone wants to reach out to Sonia, is there somewhere we can find you on social media or?
Probably LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
I'm there on LinkedIn. Thank you, Mel.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you.